I want to welcome back Sylvia Nasar to the program. She's the author of Grand Pursuit, the story of economic genius. She's also the John S. and James L. Knight Professor of Business Journalism at the Columbia School of Journalism. Sylvia, good morning once again.
Good morning, John.
So, you know, we have a very interesting state of affairs where you've got, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, economists advising parties, advising candidates, and certainly advising the president. And when the president rolls out this deficit reduction plan later on this morning, there will be all kinds of economists who will have advised and worked out the details. It wasn't always that way. Once upon a time, economists had about the profile of an assistant accountant. Isn't that the case?
Well, that's right. And there really weren't any economists. But in the last 150 years, not only have our economic circumstances improved radically, like our living standards have gone up 10 times, but there are many more economists.
And in the beginning, when the industrial age began to transform society, it was more social scientists or philosophers almost, like Malthus, who would describe, you know, the impact of the economy on people. That began to change when Marx and Engels got involved.
Well, the founders of economics were a pretty pessimistic bunch who didn't see any possibility that the bottom 90% of humanity would really ever live much better than livestock. And this was right up until the middle of the 19th century, when there was just an explosion of not just of technology, but also of rising living standards.
And what you describe in your book, Grand Pursuit, the story of economic genius, is really the point at which, and the Great Depression is sort of this. You had Marx and Engels in creating communism critiquing what the industrial age had wrought on the world, you know, back in the mid-1800s. But
right.
By the time you get to the Great Depression, you really sort of see a story of, we kind of don't know how it works, a little bit like the Wizard of Oz. And all of a sudden steps forward this fellow, John Maynard Keynes, who really transformed not only the profile of economists, but became a celebrity whose words were paid attention to by everyone.
Yes. And what is interesting is that his main message was not really about the details of fiscal policy or monetary policy. Yes, he did that, but his main message in the worst economic crisis of the past century was, this too shall pass. And we've come so far. In 1930, he said, we've come so far, but we're going to go even further in 2030, in 100 years, when our grandchildren are growing up, our incomes will be 4 to 8 times higher. We're having a mechanical breakdown right now, but we're not going to go back to the horse and buggy age. He also focused on the fact that we didn't, there were solutions. There was a way to fight the Depression, and he looked for common ground with people who disagreed with him on lots of things.
We're speaking with Sylvia Nasar. She's the author of the new book, The Grand Pursuit, The Story of Economic Genius. You know, Sylvia, one of the things that becomes very clear as you read the story of economics through these protagonists, the main characters, I guess, of your story, is that it's almost like we can't call economics a dismal science, because it's not a science. It's influenced so much by these personalities, by politics, by their views, by whether or not they're emotionally moved when they walk through a poor section of town. That's kind of what I one of the things I took away.
Well, it's absolutely true that people like Keynes or Alfred Marshall, who started out to become mathematicians, came to economics because the dilemmas of the day were economic problems. But they picked up, they also saw economics as a tool that was useful in thinking about these big problems and coming up with ways to solve them. So they saw economics as a kind of engine of analysis that they would that they contributed to and that would get better and better over time.
Do you think the mission of economics has fundamentally changed? In the beginning, it was solving the wealth or poverty problem, the big problems as you described. Nowadays, it seems that economists are put to work sort of tweaking the financial system and dealing with sort of very arcane mathematical algorithms. Maybe we have too many economic geniuses right now.
Well, I don't think you can ever have too many ideas. It's true that wealth and poverty, well, particularly poverty, was the great problem that inspired people initially. Then it became how does the government intervene in minimize the kind of poverty that is caused by poverty, and then people got more ambitious and wanted to smooth out the big gyrations in economic activity. That was really Irving Fisher and Keynes, and that they started thinking about that after World War I when the sort of economic disorders that followed the war and that governments were absolutely not prepared to deal with really jeopardized free markets and democracy.
Well, they smoothed it out for a time, that's for sure, and we're dealing with a new sort of generation of distortions in this century. Sylvia Nasar is the author of Grand Pursuit, The Story of Economic Genius. She's a professor of business journalism at Columbia School of Journalism. Professor Nasar, thanks so much.
Thank you, John and Celeste.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.